No. So many things you have to latch on to the ears, you know, not one. Three things latch onto the ears. Yeah, now it is all right. All right. Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha Hari Om. We'll wait for a minute. That's why I'm waiting, because people are still coming there.
Yeah.
एषां साक्षिणमात्मानम् चिद्रूपं विद्धि मुक्तये आत्मानं विद्धि विद्धि माने यू नो योरसेल्फ इसी जनरली टू हाईलाइट द ग्लोरी ऑफ सेल्फ नॉलेज The imperative that you should know yourself. Vidhi lok madhyama purusha ekavachanam. You should know yourself. It is imperative. You don't have a choice about it. So to make this point, we compare and contrast with its opposites, the counterpoints. Like, people want to know this, that, but before knowing, they want to do. Kuru, ye karo, wo karo. Kuru in Sanskrit is karo Hindi. So, people are chikirshavaha, not jignasavaha. So, they want to do things. They don't want to know. You understand, you see, superficially, if you look at things superficially, the knowing seems easy, doing seems difficult. But that is not the fact of life. The fact of life is, which is well recognized all over the world, it is always knowing which is difficult. And doing is, compared with knowing, doing is easier. That's why even in the companies and other organizations which employ people, they pay more to knowing than to doing. Doing is necessary. Nobody denies doing is not necessary. Doing has its relevance, but knowing is more important. And there can be knowing without doing. Whereas there cannot be doing without knowing. And in case there is doing without knowing, that doing is worthless. Or you do, somebody else knows, and you do. The doing gets you very little benefit. It is equivalent to digging a hole. Why are you digging the hole? I don't know. The boss told me to dig the hole, therefore I am digging. In India, you come across the situation while you are traveling on the road, a dozen people are digging on the roadside. They put a line there and dig. Why are you asking them? I asked one time. Are bhai, why are you digging? They said, we don't know. There is a mestri. Mestri is an unskilled worker. A mestri is a skilled worker. These are all unskilled workers. And so mestri, he won't dig. He will boss over all these people. His duty is to put the line. That line with white powder, he puts the line. And in between the lines, these people dig. And he gives a stick also. Every time they measure with that stick, that much depth they have to dig. They don't know why they are digging. So, this is the doing. There is doing. Knowing is elsewhere. Somebody else knows and you do. That doesn't make you very happy person. It gets you what is called daily wage. Now, did it ever occur to you while you are doing puja, somebody else knows and you are doing puja, did it ever occur to you? So, you know, I am surprised that I gave such an example. So, it amounts to very similar thing. In the ritual, you do the ritual and somebody else knows it, you don't know. And that somebody else sometimes is not even the Purohit. He also do category only. He doesn't know. No, somebody else knows. Who? In India, somebody else knows. Either though we are doing all kinds of rituals and somebody in India knows it. Kya baat hai? So, doing versus knowing. And in Veda, there are three sections. Karma, Upasana and Jnana. Upasana is in modern times, I mean in the last 1500 years, not more than that. The Upasana is also called as Bhakti. In Indian history, there is a movement called Bhakti movement. It started with Kabir Das and all that. Sometime in 700 AD or 1000 AD, sometime like that it started. So the word Bhakti became popular from then onwards. Earlier, there was no word Bhakti in that much popular. In the Upanishadic literature, you don't find Bhakti word at all. There is only one reference which people can give. That is Shvetashvatara Upanishad. And the last mantra, the last, that is the end of the Upanishad. And there the word Bhakti you find. Nowhere else in this authentic Upanishadic literature. And the Shvetashvatara Upanishad also is not commented upon by Shankara. And its authenticity, either in part or all of it, either in part is authentic or all of it is authentic, that authenticity is questioned all the time. Therefore, in the Vedic literature, it is Upasana. Anyway, just I passed on the information to you, that is not what I am going to discuss about, really speaking. So, Karma, Upasana and Jnana. Karma is physical action which is physical. Upasana is also action, kriya, which is mental. That's why Upasana is translated as mental worship. Still, it is an action, manasi kriya. Shankara says it like that, manasi kriya. It is also action. So thinking is an action. How do you define action? Action is a movement. And movement implies space and time. You cannot have movement without space. Something has to move in space. And then when something is moving in space, that defines time. In fact, movement defines time. Time defines movement. Time constitutes movement. There must be time. Without time, there cannot be any movement. And movement itself is defined by time. That's why in all the chronographs that we use, there is something which moves. It could be a needle which is moving. In the nature, there is a time, a chronograph, that is the sun rises and sets and moves across around the earth, apparently. So that movement is the basis for the definition of time. Or you have a chronogram in which a small needle moves. Or in digital watches, it is a quartz crystal. Crystal doesn't move. The molecules inside the crystal, they move. And that movement, we hold on to that movement to define time. And so, time and movement, they go together. Therefore, thinking is movement, and therefore it's action. Physical action is anyway action. Hands and legs move, or the objects move. Therefore, this is all movement. Action, which is gross, which is physical action, and then action which is subtle, that is the mental action, which is thinking. So you should understand that thinking is doing. Thinking is doing. Now, what happens is, thinking is subtle. Physical action is doing, nobody has any doubt about it. But when it comes to thinking, because it is so subtle, and the mind and self, Atma is the light of awareness. And you need a light for that, for knowing the, suppose there is something moving. If it is moving in pitch darkness, you will not be able to know the movement. And when you don't know the movement, there is no movement. You have to know it. Suppose in pitch dark something is moving, I don't know, then there is no movement. But there is movement, but I don't know. Now you know it. Why do you say I don't know? There must be knowing. Without knowing, you cannot validate anything. Therefore, there must be light. That knowing is the light. Light of awareness. That is the inner light. Even outside, you want to see something moving. You need a light. Without light, how do you see the movement? And without seeing the movement, how can you say there is movement? Therefore, you say there is movement implies that you see the movement, which implies there is a light. Apply this situation to the inner, you apply. So, here, once you go into the inner, the light becomes the light of knowingness. That knowing is the light, what we call the light of awareness. Okay, that is the inner. It is not this kind of light. That's why in meditation, etc., somebody says some light is flashing. That means that inner light, he is confusing with the outer light, you know. Flashing means outer light it is. And it is, outer light is only a metaphor. You know what is a metaphor? So metaphor should not be made into literal. If you make the metaphors into literal, you are in serious trouble. You don't know the truth anymore. Unless you know the difference between a metaphor and the literal. So, you should know. When I get a good example, I will tell you. You should know the metaphor. So, metaphor as metaphor. Therefore, the light, the word light, when it comes to the inner, when you are talking of the inner, the word light is a metaphor, not the physical light. It is a light which is like light. Not exactly the inner, outer light. And therefore these meditations in which you are either seeing lights within you, flashing, etc. And then you call it blue light, green light, etc. All of that is your imagination. You are just imagining. There is no value in all that. That kind of meditations have no value. So, One Brahmachari told a Mahatma, Mahatmaji, yesterday night while meditating, I saw a flash of light. Oh, what is that? Mahatma said, you see such things, you don't ignore all that and you continue your meditation. That is what it took. Therefore, this flashing lights, etc., people say, sir, we saw flashing of light. In the heart it is flashing, in the head it is flashing. All of that is your imagination. Just ignore all that. Similarly, if you hear sounds, that also you ignore. They are not worth pursuing. Because it is all metaphor. So the inner light is not like the flashing light. The inner light is the light of awareness or light of knowingness. In Sanskrit, we call it chit. That is the word. So please hold on to that word, chit. Sometimes chit in Sanskrit, if you find the word is too tiny, you can blow it up. Meaning remains the same. This is the procedure called swarthe pratyayaha. Without changing the meaning, you can add a suffix. When you add a suffix, in the stem, some modifications will happen. So now you have a blown up word. Meaning same. So, chitta, you can do that with the chitta and make it chaitanyam. Now it sounds great. That meaning is same, you know. There is no difference in the meaning. And so that light, inner light, that is the light of knowingness, in which all things, they come to light. Mane, all things become evident. Mane, all things become known. That is the inner light. And therefore, in that inner light, there is a movement, very subtle movement. And that movement is called thought, thinking. That is the movement. And therefore, thought is also a movement. And that's why there is a thinking versus knowing. Because thinking is movement. Knowing is the light, knowingness. To just make it clear, I add an extra ness to that. No, because if I say knowing, it sounds like a kriya, action. Because ing is there, you know. That ing, it sounds like an action. Doing, knowing. Doing is one action, knowing is another action. That kind of a confusion is possible. In fact, you see, all these confusions are made into philosophies. So a common man, he is confused and he remains confused. Whereas a clever person, he is confused and creates a philosophy out of his confusion. I saw what I had. So much so, we have Vaisheshikas and Nayayikas, they are confused to the extent that they call knowing is also a doing. Anyway, in Vedanta, we clearly distinguish between knowing and versus doing. And now, where should you put thinking? Thinking is same as thought. So what you think is the thought, you know. So what you are thinking is the thought. Therefore, thinking is a thought. And so when you say it thought, it sounds as if it's an object. That is how it sounds. Book. Sounds like an object. Thought sounds like an object. But it is not an object, it is a movement. And movement is always time bound. The movement could be for a long time or could be a short time. This movement called thinking is short movement, it is short lived. Therefore, thought is a very short lived. And so it may repeat again and again, and then you get a sense of continuity. But really speaking, there is nothing continuous. It is all discontinuous. This is all quantum physics, you know. So, it is a thinking. And so, you should distinguish between thinking and knowingness. Why should I not say thinking and knowing? I can say that. But I should not give even an iota of opportunity to you to make a mistake. Suppose I give an iota of opportunity to misunderstand, you will misunderstand it. That is Murphy's law. That's why. So I don't want to give that opportunity to you. Therefore I say knowingness. Now you cannot confuse it with an action. Therefore thinking is an action. It's a movement and hence it's an action. That's why putting too much emphasis on thinking, that thinking will take you to the truth. You have to examine it. Because thinking is a movement. And thinking is a prakruti. It is nature. Kshetra it is. Thinking is also kshetra. You are not kshetra. You are kshetra, the one who knows the kshetra. That is what you are. You look at the kshetra, kshetrajna context. Some of you must be knowing it. So what is kshetra? Mahabhutanyahankaraha. Buddhir avyaktamevacha. So, ahankara is the ego. What is ego? It's a thought. Ego is a thought. And then a buddhi is the mind. And therefore, so it is all the prakruti. It is all kshetra. And then Kshetrajna, the one who knows the Kshetra, is the Atma. Therefore, so you should, this is a distinction between doing and knowing. Doing is Prakriti, knowing is Atma, the one who knows. You see, this word Atma, we use it and you are accustomed to it. But what is Atma if you ask? The only answer I can give in this context is that which knows. That is the Atma. That's why Sri Krishna calls it in that context Kshetrajnaha. That is what he calls it. Kshetrajnaha. Kshetram Jnanati. The one which knows. But then Atma is you. Atma is you. And therefore, you are not the one who does. The one that does is Prakriti, is the Kshetra. Then who am I? You are the one who knows. Kshetrajna. And you should know yourself. Vidhi, Atmanam Vidhi. You should know yourself. Why should I know myself? Muktaye. For freedom. You want freedom? Then you should know yourself. Suppose you say, no, I am not in a hurry for freedom. I want wealth. Then you need not know yourself. You know all about stock market or other ways of making money, all that you know. Join a university, get a degree. And using that, some people are good in getting degrees, but they don't, they are not good in getting jobs using those degrees. I said, you know that. They are good in getting degrees. And so this person gets a PhD degree and comes out, and he doesn't have a job and he looks around. Nobody invites him. Oh, Dr. Saab, why? PhD means doctor, you know. So nobody invites him. And then he sees, suddenly he finds his MSc colleague who joined a bank in India. After finishing MSc, they joined bank. And he is making a lot of money in bank. He is a probationary officer. And this PhD guy, he looks at him and becomes jealous. Really? Therefore, anyway, so the thing is, if you want money, it is not about knowledge and all that. You get your degree and develop a skill and join a job and make money. Or there are other, do a business. They do business. The business people. So they do business. They start a business and do business and make a lot of money. And so now money making is over. You should do higher things. They don't know any higher things. They only know business. And they will be doing business. Are, how long will you do business? That is the only thing I know. Therefore, I do it till my last breath. Kya karoge, all this money you accumulate, what will you do? Bhunjanti dhorta krupanasya vittam. So you make all the money, some dhorta people, useless people will enjoy all that money. Therefore, business people also should know how far they should do business, how much business they should do. They should have a limit because, you see, ultimately you have to do a higher thing. Anyway, that is not the point. The point is, you should know yourself only when you want freedom. If you don't have interest in freedom, you need not know yourself. You pursue wealth. You see, this person, when the man gets married, young man gets married, in South India, I don't know how it works in North India much, I don't attend marriages and all that. In South India, I knew a little. So in the marriage, as he is going to the bride's place, and then he will tie the nuptial, knot, etc., there is a small function. The ritual is, it is called Kashi Yatra. He undertakes a journey to Kashi. Kashi is Atmajnana. Kashi is not the city Kashi. City Kashi is symbolic. Kashi, Kashate iti Kashi. Kashyam hi Kashate Kashi. Sa Kashi yena vai jnata Like that, there is a verse in Kashi Panchakam by Shankara. Therefore, Kashi is shining, you know. That is the inner light of awareness. That is the Kashi. Varanasi Bhruvol Madhye. These are the brows. These are the eyebrows. Bro. Bhru in Sanskrit. Bro in English. You see how closely they are connected. So, Bhru, bro. Between the brows, eyebrows they say, Varanasi, this is Varanasi, what we put Telakam, that is the Varanasi. Also called Ajna. Ajna is not command. Asamantati Jnanam. That is the awareness, that is the seat of awareness in the body. Therefore, that is the Varanasi. Varanasi is not a place where you take a train and go. That is not the real Varanasi. What happens is, when you miss the real Varanasi, then the other Varanasi becomes everything. You may still go to Varanasi, it's alright, if you have the energy to go there, please do go there. It is our constituency of our beloved Prime Minister also. So by all means you please go. But that is not the Kashi that we are talking about. The inner light, that is the Kashi. And so, you want wealth, then you don't need to know yourself. If you want freedom, you should know yourself. Freedom from what? Not political freedom. That is not freedom really. It is independence only. That is, the word independence is reserved for political freedom. And also physical freedom. That is independence. But the real freedom is the psychological freedom. Freedom from the bondage of samsara, which we have discussed. And so if you want that freedom, you should know yourself. You should know yourself. You see, it is called self-knowledge, very well understood word in the context of Vedanta, Atmajnanam. I submit, I am not saying in any way to condemn people or to belittle people, Nichakarna, that is not my goal. But I notice, in fact, I suggest that I don't notice, noticing happens. You become aware. That awareness is there. When you are aware, so you become aware. So there is a beautiful rose and you become aware. And then somebody is plucking that rose, which is a violent thing to do. You become aware too. You don't go and fight with him. Just you become aware. You become aware of the beauty of the rose and you become aware of this violence or everything. So, no, I close my eyes. How can you close your eyes? You do become aware. So, I notice people have kind of fixations about self-knowledge. They have fixations. They are conditioning. They don't know properly and they go into a particular conditioning and so they stay with that conditioning. And therefore, they study the books, the scriptures and all that. They don't get self-knowledge. And then the funny part of it is, they are studying the scriptures for gaining the self-knowledge. And then in spite of studying the scriptures for a few years, there is no self-knowledge. They don't see any contradiction in that. When you don't see contradiction, you will not make any progress. You remain where you are. When you see contradiction, how come? I am studying, but I don't know the self. I am studying all the right scriptures, but I don't know the self. How come? Suppose that question you raise, that is the question you should ask. If you ask the right kind of question, that is already the progress in the right direction. So, therefore, this word self-knowledge, you have to appreciate it thoroughly. And that is one point, that this contradiction, people have to pay attention to that. If you pay attention, slowly the contradiction will vanish and things come into your grip. So, therefore, studying the scriptures, yet not knowing the self, remaining ignorant of the self. What is missing there? that people have to pay attention to that. You see, sometimes what happens, the guru, the teacher, will not raise this issue because there is a pitfall involved there. The pitfall is there is an attempt to perpetuate the teaching. So, I have to come in 2018, I have to come in 2019. Suppose suddenly you become self-knowledge, you gain knowledge of the self, then I need not come. And then I come and I don't find anybody because everybody got self-knowledge. Therefore, it is in my advantage that you remain a professional shrotas and I remain professional vakta. ऐसा होता है. You have to address this issue. The goal should not be to perpetuate the teaching for the sake of teaching. ऐसा नहीं होना चाहिए. So, this way what happens, you create professional gurus and professional shishyas. These professional shishyas, they nicely slip into the role of a professional shishya. You know what is the role? Akhanda mandalakaram. Ho gaya. What is akhanda mandalakara? Wo kya hota hai? Nicely slip into the role of a shishya. Just recite a few verses and practice ritualized reverence and slip into the role of a shishya. You don't get jnanam out of it, but still you get something. That's why you do it. You means not you. This is my way of speaking. You don't get self-knowledge out of it. That contradiction remains. But still you do it. Do it with a lot of enthusiasm. What could be the reason for it? There must be some reason. The reason is that it gives you a sensation. That is what it is. Please note, it gives you a sensation. Like when you do a ritual with a lot of fervor, at the end of it, you feel something. What is it that you feel? The ritual, which is an action, is over. Action is short-lived, you know. In hour and a half, it is over. Over means what? It has gone into the flow of time. It is already the past. It is not there now. Past is past, gone. And phala is in the future. Now, what are you left with? You are left with a sensation. You feel good, you know. So this is what is called feel-good factors. Left with a sensation. And therefore, this ritualized reverence makes you feel good. You feel a sensation. And probably the guru also feels a sensation. Why not? When so many shishyas, Gurave Namaha, Isa Bhulte Rahate, Namaskar to Guru and all that, and then do a few things, like washing the feet with milk, which is the wrong thing to do. You should not wash feet with milk, you should wash feet with water, that too when needed. Not all the time. So, unnecessary things they do. Put honey on the feet, put milk on the feet, then all that oily stuff sticks to the feet, and then you have to apply soap and wash it. Why do you do such things? Ritualized reverence. Somebody started. Maybe 200 years back, 300 years back, somebody started. And so people, katanugatiko lokaha, people follow. People don't want to discover. People don't want to think. People don't want to know. They want to follow. Anyway, therefore, you really speaking, you are not looking for self-knowledge. I put that blame at your door. You are not so serious about self-knowledge. You are interested in some kind of a spiritual sensation. That is all people are interested. And this problem you have to address. I am addressing the problem because I want to draw your attention to the problem. Once you pay attention to the problem, you are already a grown-up person. You will not remain in ignorance anymore. There is a tremendous power for attention. You come out of this kind of a ritualism which serves no useful purpose. And so that is one thing. But anyway, I have digressed. Coming back to the point, what is self-knowledge? Some people, they are just waiting for self-knowledge to happen. It will happen. When it will happen, so they have a formula. And that formula will happen. It will happen. When? In the future. This is a tremendous mistake that we all do. Because you don't know one thing. And I say like that, please don't mind. You don't know one thing. I will say what it is. But after saying also, I am not sure whether you will know it or not. This is the conundrum of Vedantic teaching. Kshurasya dhara nishita duratkaya durgam pathastat kavayo vadanti. This teaching of Vedanta, teaching. It is about teaching. That vakya is about teaching. Because there is from Kathopanishad, the line above is uttishthata jagrata prapya varan nibodhata. You understand? You know. This knowing, and then earlier pravachanayana nayamatma pravachanayana labhyaha etc. There, so durgam pathast tat kavayo vadanti, that, what is that atmajnanam? That atmajnanam, you look at the bhashyakara. So atmajnanam, its exposition is like walking on a razor's edge. It's a conundrum. Vishamaghattaha. Kanundram mana vishamaghattaha. So I feel like saying, but again I am not sure whether I say it and you will get it or not. I am not belittling you, I am telling you the conundrum that is associated with Vedantic teaching. Now I will say, what I say is, there is nothing like future, there is no thing like future. Future is in your imagination, it's a fiction, there is no future. Those who know Vedanta know that, and those who know modern physics know that, quantum physics or modern physics, they know that. There is no future. And you feel the future or you experience the future only when you think of the future. When you think of the past, there is no future. There is only past. And when you are in the present, then there is only present. Suppose the thinker ceases. Since you are awake, the thinker comes to an end. Means the thought process ends. You are in a thoughtless state of pure awareness, the notion of time itself doesn't exist. The idea of time itself doesn't exist. There is future only when you imagine future. There is no future. What do you tell to people? When I say future, I mean psychological future. Again, you should not confuse it with the chronological future. Chronological future is there. In the sense that now it is 10 to 8 and by 8:45 I will conclude. Hopefully the meditation and we will disperse and have some food. That is the chronological future. Keep it. Don't dismiss that. Okay. But psychological future is not there. It is in your imagination only. Therefore, you are waiting for the knowledge of the self to happen in future by a formula. You are waiting. So you are waiting in vain. This is what I like to call, you are waiting before a painted door. It won't open. Because it's a painted door, it won't open. So there is nothing like self-knowledge in the future. There is no such thing. Because there is no future at all. There is only the present. Now, you see these tremendous issues associated with self-knowledge. Are you able to see that? What a conundrum it is. I don't even have another word to describe it. With some difficulty I got hold of this word conundrum and I am holding on to that. The self-knowledge is like that. And then about self-knowledge, I would like to point out one more thing. You see, you put the self away from yourself. There is a thing called Atma, and Atma is Brahma, and I will know it in the future. Okay? Now what you have done, you know, you have done three mistakes. You made the knowing, you put knowing into the future. That is one mistake, because there is no future at all. And then you made the Atma the other. Atma is Brahma. What about you? I am Swami TV. Date of birth. And I celebrate my birthday and all of you come. Something is missing there. Something is very badly missing. Because you made the Atma the other. Arepa, Atma is not the other. Atma is you. In fact, the word Atma, Bhashyakara, in Chandogya Bhashya, Ananyaha, none other than you. Now, you, I am asking you, you, present or future? Present. Okay? You, familiar to you or unfamiliar? Familiar. Then what is going on? That I will know Atma in the future, Atma is Brahma, what is going on? You have to address all these issues. That is one thing. Then another issue with Atma-jnana, Atmanam Vidhimuktaya, that's why I am putting all my heart into it and trying to make a discussion out of it. Another thing is, people, you see, I give this example. Somebody wanted to study physics, to know physics or study physics. And now, then somebody else says, or he himself says, I study physics to become an Einstein. Now, when will he become an Einstein? You cannot become an Einstein. The possibility of becoming an Einstein is very little, very low. Therefore, I stopped studying physics. How is that? Therefore, you don't study physics to become an Einstein. You study physics to know physics. You study a little, you know a little physics. Study some more physics. You know a little more physics. So similarly, the self-knowledge will come and you will become Brahma immediately. Like that you put it in the future. True, in a way it can be described like that and you can argue in its favor. But the point is, you know yourself. Now, you are you. You are you. You know, Brahma, Atma is Brahma. Atma, Brahma, kya baat hai? You are saying you have known all the right words without knowing the truth at all. Atma is the Brahma, you know all the right words. That is all you know. You know why? The word is not the thing. You should know that. The word tree, I said tree. The word tree is not the tree. Tree is something altogether different from the word tree. Therefore, you should know that the word is not the thing. You should know that. Otherwise, what happens? You have all the right words. You know all the right words without knowing anything. Because the word is not the thing. Therefore, you, Atma is Brahma, that kind of terminology, which is right, but it becomes a kind of a fixation, and you see, when what happens, you know, when so many words you collect and fill your inner faculty with mere words, now those words and those ideas, the words correspond to ideas. So those ideas, words do not sit here as words with the spelling and all that. They enter into you in the form of ideas. Naman Rupa. Word is Naman, Rupa is the idea. And therefore all the ideas that correspond to all the words that you know, they form such a screen of concepts and ideas that the truth remains hidden behind that screen. Did you ever come across this kind of unusual proposition that says, I dare to say this, what you call knowledge becomes a screen to you to know the truth. Because what you call knowledge is a bunch of ideas corresponding to the words that you have acquired under this, that is called the process of ideation. And that knowledge that you have acquired over a few years, that is the screen, I tell you, that is the screen which prevents you from knowing the truth. Because now you do not have what is called an open mind. I will dare you, if you are willing to examine, you explore your moments of learning, those moments you have, where you have learned something, not where, when, those moments when you have learned something, those moments you examine them. In those moments, your mind was empty. That is when you know. That is when you learn. Let me put the word learn. When your mind is empty, that is when you learn. When your mind is filled with ideas of knowledge, under that knowledge, it is there, very much present. That is not when you learn. Suppose you examine this small experience. Suppose I ask you, hey, what is the time? Because I am supposed to stop speaking at 8:45. Hey, what is the time? I ask. When I ask that, you reply. And I learn the time now. And when I am asking, what is the time? And I am waiting to get the reply, how is my mind? Empty. Hey, who is he? Empty. Mind is empty. Then only you will learn. Every learning experience is associated with an empty mind. Suppose there are a number of thoughts in your mind floating. Is that a learning moment? No. And therefore, what you call knowledge is but a bunch of words and ideas associated with those words. And this collection of ideas in the form of knowledge becomes your obstacle. When you have a humble heart, and this notion that I know, suppose when I, hey, what is the time now? When I am asking that question, that I know, is it there in my mind? It is not there. Hey, who is he? I know is not there. Right? Suppose I know is there in your mind. Now you don't learn. That's why the person who says I know, he does not know. And I tell you one secret of life. You cannot factually say I know about anything. You can only say, I don't know. You can keep quiet, you need not say either this or that. But if you have to say, you can only say, I don't know. The moment you say, I know, you made a mistake. Because what you think you know, you don't know. Avijñātam vijānatām, vijñātam avijānatām. You see, students of Upanishads should understand some of these generalizations, they are called. They are so profound, their profundity is beyond the human mind's imagination. Avijñātam vijānatām. People know it. They tell me, we have studied Kama Upanishad. When? 4 years back. Then why did you remain a bag of bones even today? Avijñātam vijānatām. The one who says, I know, he doesn't know. That verse is so profound. Yasyāmatam tasyamatam matam yasya na veda saha. Avijñātam vijānatām, vijñātam avijānatām. The one who claims, either with others or to himself, that he knows, he doesn't know. You should never have that idea, I know. You should never have that. Somebody asked me, hey, Swamiji, do you know that? Yeah, I may know, I may not know. You tell me, I want to know. That is the right approach. Then you can know. You can learn. You can learn. This self-knowledge, you have to put into that model that I have described now. So, you don't wait for something like self-knowledge suddenly descending into you in the future. When you will realize, Aham Brahmasmi. Do you know what is Brahma? I don't know. Then you know what is the meaning of Aham Brahmasmi? Aham Brahmasmi means I am that which I do not know. How does that sound? I am that which I do not know. How comes about that? Therefore, don't wait for that. It is like study physics. Will I become Einstein? Why you want to study physics until you are assured of becoming Einstein? No. Only when I am assured I will become Einstein, I will study physics. Come on. You will never study physics. Therefore, I suggest you know yourself. Now you know. You know all about yourself. You should know all about yourself. And to know yourself, because yourself are already yourself. To know yourself, you must face the self with its opposites. That is the only way you know yourself. I am putting forward a tremendous philosophical mission, which is captured in the Vakya, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Athata Adeshaha Neti Neti. So, Adeshaha Upadeshaha, the Upadesha, the instruction. Upadesha is instruction. People convert everything into a ritual. You know what is Upadesha? Put one new shawl and put it on the head. And on the heads of both people, and you whisper in his ear. So, whisper, what is he whispering? You know, Funkana is about there, so something like that. You whisper in his ear something, and put shawl. Why shawl? Others should not see. Then why do you do in a hall and collect all others and do in a hall? With videographers and photographers and all that. If others should not see, then do it in a dark room. Go to the corner and do it so that others won't see. First collect all the people and put a muhurtam and then declare to the whole world that he is going to instruct something to him and put a shawl, that too new one, purchased from the market with a lot of money. And then the shawl who will take that issue has to be settled also. So, kya hai ye tamasha? And it is called Upadesha. Everything is converted into a ritual. I suggest you should question everything. You should question everything. Shodhan karna padta hai. Shodhan ho jata. It is like when you want to eat food, you wash the plate, you wash the spoon, you wash the fork, you wash the Every single item that you use for serving food or eating food, you wash it. Similarly, you should question. So Upadeshaha is not some ritualized thing like that. Upadeshaha is instruction. Very sacred thing it is. It gives you an opportunity to learn. Therefore, Athata Adeshaha, Adeshaha Upadeshaha, Esha Adeshaha, Esha Upadeshaha, is an explanation of the same thing. So that instruction, what is the instruction? Neti neti. Na na. Iti does. Iti mane does. So the instruction is does. How? Na. That is not. This is not. And I sometimes, to capture the spirit of that vision, I say, while saying, I get a doubt of myself. The doubt is two kinds of doubt. One day people may not be able to understand it, may not understand it, likely not to understand. That is one doubt. Second, I will be misconstrued. This is another problem, you know. You don't understand what I say and then say, oh, Swami TV said like that. A double dhamaka. You don't understand from your side and then impute something to me. And then I have to deal with it. Okay, I'll deal with it. You know how I deal with these things? I deal with these things by becoming utterly transparent. All these things, they come and go like a glass through which light flows. No resistance at all. Utterly transparent. That is how I deal with it. I deal with these things without dealing with them. That is how I deal. Anyway, the point is, that is what I wanted to say, the negative understanding is the highest understanding. The negative understanding is the highest understanding. I would gladly substantiate that statement. Anything that you assert, anything, you try. Assert means make a statement in a positive way. Anything you assert is false. Only negation is the truth. Suppose you say, Aham Brahmanaha, you can question it all the time. Navarna, Navarnashrama Chara Dharmaha. You are identifying with a caste. You are giving some contextual name to yourself that is not your true self. Yeah, what happened to your assertion? Suppose you say, I am a Canadian. What kind of assertion is that? I am a Canadian, mane kya hota hai? The Canada map is sticking to you or what? Canadian, mane kya hota hai? Some mental concept which is out of context, it could come. But essentially, you are not a Canadian. If you are essentially Canadian, then you cannot go anywhere. That doesn't stand. If you understand, it doesn't stand. That identification it is. You are identifying with a landmass. Even the borders are imagined by human mind, human thought. You are identifying with a landmass. That is not the correct assertion. This way, you assert everything. Suppose, let me say, he is the father of this son, this child. Now, that assertion is wrong. You know why it is wrong? Now, who is the father? The so-called father is the father or child is the father? I say child is the father. Because only after the child is born, he is became the father. Therefore, child made him the father. Therefore, child is the father. And that is one argument. This is Mandukya argument it is. Karanakarya-bhava itself is dismissed. What is cause and what is effect you are imagining. So, another argument is, the child, the jiva comes into this world through us. They are not brought into this world by us. They came into this world through us. You are only a medium through which children have come into this world. You are unnecessarily calling yourself father and mother. Kate kanta kaste putraha. samsara yamativa vichitra. Therefore, you cannot even assert that you are the father and mother like that. You cannot do any assertion. No, no, she is my wife, Arevai. Don't be so assertive about it. Duniya bahut funny duniya hai. It's okay. Don't assert too much. Because you never know. Therefore, all assertions, you try, you go home and try. All assertions are wrong. No, he is my guru. What is it that you have known? What is it that you have learned? I have not yet learned anything. Then how is your guru? So you are temporarily saying something. No assertion is right, I tell you. All assertions are wrong. But you negate. Suppose you are not brahmanaha. That is the truth. I am not pita, na mata, nirvana shaktam you study. That is the truth. You say no, that is the truth. You have already said the truth about yourself. Got the point? And self-knowledge is you know all about yourself. You should know. And now you should know. And even as you know, you become free. There is freedom. And you know an intimation, they say. You got an intimation about yourself. Means you don't know all about yourself, but some intimation you have about yourself that will liberate you. It is freedom. Tremendous freedom in knowing about the self. And then to know about the self, you should face the self against its opposite. Opposites. What is the opposite of self? Non-self. That is how you know. You see, you want to know your face. You face it. You face the face against its image. That is how you know about your face. How do you know about your face? You put the face vis-a-vis against its image. Image is not the face. Its image. Then you will know about your face. Suppose you refuse to say, I don't want to stand before the mirror. I don't want to look at the image, the reflection. I want to know about my face. Can you know your face? In your lifetime you cannot know your face. You have to go and look into the water. Into a reflecting surface you have to look into. This is what I liked in that movie, Lion King. It's a philosophical movie. And Walt Disney is a philosopher. I never agree that philosophy Vedanta is only in India. I don't agree with that. Because knowledge has no boundaries. No west, no east. Knowledge is universal. Walt Disney is a philosopher. Like Panchatantra is there in Sanskrit. And the Panchatantra Kara, some author is there. I don't get his name readily. He's a great philosopher. Similarly, Walt Disney was a philosopher. I love that story. It is a lion living with some simple animals, like a boar or whatever, or a fox or whatever. And it never knew that it was a lion. Then a monkey is the sadhu there, who knows, a wise man. A monkey takes this look. Then it looks like that. Therefore, you have to face the self against its opposite, the non-self. Then only you will understand the self. And then this fundamental question, what is it that I get by understanding the self? What is it that I get? Freedom. No one here, freedom. You become free. What a freedom it is. And the freedom is love, ananda. Freedom is love. What you practice is not love, it is attachment. Unless you are free, you cannot love. You see, I suppose I say, I love all of you. Suppose that is true, that is the truth. I love all of you. I must be free. Suppose I am tethered, she is my wife, he is my son, this is my house, then can I love? I can say I love you. That is all I can say. But suppose I am not tethered, I am not Indian, I am not Hindu, I am not Christian, I am not Canadian, I am not American, I am none of these things, means I am free. And therefore, I love all of you. You look like my Atma Bandhu. That doesn't mean I will sit with you. I will walk away. Because it is not attachment, it is love. Love doesn't stick. Attachment clings or sticks. Anyway, I have digressed. You have to face the self with its opposite, the non-self. Just like you have to stand before the mirror to know your face, to see yourself. You have to stand before the mirror. Mirror is not the you, the image is not you, but still you have to stand face to face with whatever is not you, so that you can know yourself. So this is a kind of introduction to self-knowledge. I have introduced quite a few things in that. One is self-knowledge, also its connection with liberation. And why do you need liberation? Suppose you feel you don't need liberation, you are welcome to feel like that. This Kashi Yatra is like that. In that Kashi Yatra, he is asked, why do you want to go to Kashi? Because Kashi is self-knowledge. I have so much vairagya, dispassion, and I will go away to Kashi, and I will know the self. Then the bride's brother comes and says, can you postpone your Kashi Yatra? Why should I postpone? You look at that young girl there, she loves you. And you look at how beautiful she is, you can live with her for some time and enjoy the life. So you consider postponing the Kashi Yatra. He says, okay, I postpone it. And then he comes back. The fellow who started for Kashi, he retraces his steps, he comes back, and he never thinks of going to Kashi whole life. What a pitiable thing it is. Therefore, this Kashi Yatra should start now. And this Yatra, you have to know about yourself. You see, one may say, sir, we are facing some real problems in the family, or in the society, or in the community. Some financial issues are bothering us. We are in the midst of a crisis. This self-knowledge can wait. Why do you bother us with self-knowledge? Can you give us a formula or some mantra or some technique to solve the crisis that we are facing? Because we are in a crisis, some solution we have to find for the crisis. So can you give us some solution to that? Can self-knowledge wait? Suppose you ask like that. The answer is, no, you got it wrong. Because for two reasons. One, self-knowledge is the answer for all your crises, not one crisis. For every single crisis that you face in life, self-knowledge is the answer. Because of ignorance of the self alone, you find yourself in a crisis. If it is a crisis, occasional crisis, once in a blue moon, a crisis came, then you can think of a solution, a palliative kind of solution to overcome that crisis. You can think of that. But suppose there is crisis in our lives, day after day, whole life there is crisis ridden, then what will you do? Then a solution to the particular crisis is not a solution at all. That is how we live. We live on the verge of sorrow. Any moment we can fall into the sorrow. One phone call is enough to put an end to all your bonhomie, all your happiness. One phone call is enough. One dip in stock market is enough to take away all your feeling of security. It's all gone. One small dip in the stock market is enough. So, we are very vulnerable people. For us, it is not one crisis or a few crises. It is a series of crises. So much so, the whole life is a series of crises. That is how we live. If it is like one day headache, you can take Tylenol. But if it is a daily headache, Tylenol is not the solution anymore. You should understand that. Therefore, the money that you accumulate, the pleasures that you enjoy, the rituals that you perform, the gods that you worship, the pilgrimages that you do, the charities that you practice, they are not going to solve your crisis. Only self-knowledge will solve your crisis, your problem. That's why if anybody tells you that you have already done some rituals by doing some more rituals, you have already done some charity by doing some more charity, you have done some pilgrimages by doing some more formidable pilgrimages, you will become happy. If somebody tells you that, or if you believe that, please take it from me, it's a trap. Nastyakratakratena. These are all tremendously generalized statements of truth. Tremendous statements they are. People don't have the openness to understand those statements. They are amazing statements. Nastyakratakratena. Na karmana vardhate no kaniya. So like that. Therefore, you are in a crisis, unending crisis. The life itself is a crisis. And you are looking for some quick fix solutions. They don't exist. You are looking for certain formulae that will solve your problem for you. They don't exist. You are looking for religious leaders who take some money from you and will solve your problem for you. You are looking like that. You will be disappointed. You are looking in vain. Then how to come out of this crisis of living itself? Living itself has become a crisis for people. People are conflicted. They don't know what is peace, inner peace. They have big houses, but they don't have inner peace. They are lonely. They suffer from loneliness. And then they are constantly buffeted by the fear of disease and death. They don't know how to solve the crisis of life. They are running from pillar to post in vain. They have only one solution. Nanyah pantha vidyate yanaya ayanaya anyaha panthaha na vidyate. For freedom, for solving this problem of life's crisis, there is only one way, and that is know yourself. It sounds unbelievable. Somebody even may question, how come by knowing myself, my crisis will be solved? That is what you have to understand. Because you have entered into a crisis in life because of lack of self-knowledge. You do not know yourself properly. That's why you are in a crisis. If only you know, you get an intimation of your true nature, the crisis will melt away like snow in the sun. You should know. You should know all about yourself. And you don't postpone it. And one more thing I assure you. If you want to know yourself, nothing will come in your way. Let me postpone the meditation for tomorrow. Okay? I cannot do it today. So, this is meditation. This is meditation. I feel like meditation. Don't you feel so? So, you see, knowing yourself will make you free. You see, knowing myself will solve a problem? Yes, it will solve your problem. Just by getting an intimation of yourself, the present crisis in which you are going through, whatever that may be, will be resolved. It's a guarantee. Know thyself, O man, know thyself and be liberated. Due to ignorance of the self, you find yourself in an unhappy bondage of samsara. And therefore you should know. Viddhi muktahe. So atmanam viddhi muktahe. Okay, how to know? You face the self against the non-self. So, you see, what is non-self? The world that I am looking at is the non-self. You see, you have the experience of the world. And you have the experience of yourself. Bear with me for my usage of the word. It conveys a message, you know. You feel yourself all the time. Yourself is not unfamiliar to you. You feel yourself all the time. So you have the experience of yourself. That is how I say. And then the world is with you all the time. You open the eyes early in the morning, the world begins. It's not just beginning, it dances on your head. Not if it dances in its place, all right, it is dancing on my head. And continuously dancing. And therefore, there is the experience of the world. And you see, you have to deal with it. And then that doesn't make world real, but the experience is there. And you have to account for it, you have to deal with it. Otherwise it will bind you. And then the feeling of myself is there. Then what about God? Ayappa, God, we will come to God. You will come, as long as you take yourself to be a person, and take the world real, your God can only be a conceptual God. Now, that is a statement I made. Somebody asked me, "Hey Swami, are you an Astika or a Nastika?" I said, "I am neither." "Oh my goodness, you are neither?" "Yeah." "Then who are you?" "I am an Advaiti." Because Nastika says there is no God there. Why an Astika should say that? Because Astika says there is a God there. That's why Astika says. Then where do I fit in? I don't fit in either. I stand apart. I am lonely where I am. I am alone, like Vajpayee said. I am on the summit. And where I am, I am alone. That is what he said. That is the truth. Where I am alone. Therefore, I am neither Astika nor Nastika. I am Advaiti. I am alone. Anyway, so the world experience is there. Let us examine this world experience. What is the world? You should not just start giving a list of things. I will give you what is the definition of a world. Because Atma Vidya, it is Adhyatma Vidya. It is self-centric knowledge. Self-centric, not geocentric. Or theocentric. Geocentric mana kya hota hai? World, stars, planets, then continents, Europe, Asia. This is geocentric. National geography kind of knowledge. which is all right. Theocentric means world. So first day, Bhagavan created, God created earth. Second day, He created this. Then He created the sun. Then He created the moon. This is theocentric. We are not this or that. We are self-centric. Now I give you the definition of the world. The world is that which you hear, you touch, you see, you taste, and you smell. Take the word smell in the right sense. Okay? Which you smell with your nose. That is the word. Why five only? Because you are endowed with five senses. And the world is a conglomerate of five sense objects. Maybe there is a sixth sense object. Maybe there is a sixth object. Do you have a sixth sense? No. There is no sixth sense. People tell you that there is a sixth sense. They are bluffing. They are bluffing. We have many bluff masters. Don't believe it. Somebody said, I will help open your third eye. How it happened? How can you do that? I have already done to you. See, all of them, all those shishyas, I have opened all their third eyes. How? I will prove to you. I come here and I will tie this black towel around his eyes. And then among you, please, one of you come here. Sir, you ask him. He is the third eye. So he asks, dear young man, your third eye is opened? Yes. Who opened your third eye? My guru has opened. Oh. So, can you tell me where do I live? You live in New Jersey. Oh. Oh, correct. Third eye. And can you tell me what kind of a house I live? You live in a duplex house. Oh, duplex house, not ranch house. Duplex house. Oh, third eye has opened already, you know. Can you tell me my bedroom, is it first floor or second floor, ground floor or first floor? First floor. Oh, how do I go to the staircase is round and then you go up. And is it on the left or right? It is to the right. Oh, his third eye is open. Can you believe it? This is the bluff. And a person, when I was young in the university, he tied a black thing around, a black piece of cloth around his eyes and drove a motorcycle in London. And he never said he's a third eye. You know what he said? This is a magic, this is a trick, I am doing it. And therefore, they recognized him. He's a freak, all right, extraordinary person. He has a trick up his sleeve. And he says that. He never says, I am spiritual, I am guru, I am third. He never says that. Well, these people bluff all that. These are bluff masters. There is no sixth sense. Clairvoyance, this and that. You are all bluffing. There is no sixth sense. There are only five senses. The Hollywood guy doesn't bluff. It is fiction for him. In Hollywood there is a picture called Sixth Sense. He is not bluffing. It is a fiction for him. Whereas these people, they bluff. There is no sixth sense. Just I digress, you know. Evening class is coming to the end also. Therefore I digress a little. So there are five senses. And therefore five sense objects. And that is the world. And these five things which are put together constitute the world. They are called elements. Don't confuse with the chemical elements. Chemistry or physics, they talk of element. They are 100-odd. That element definition is different. That is entirely objective science. Whereas this is adhyatma vidya, self-centered science it is. Here, world is that which you know. I would ask you to think about this. You are the one who knows. Please keep that in mind. You tell yourself, when you wake up in the morning, you tell yourself, I am the one who knows. Already you are free. You try it. You are free. There is freedom. That is self-knowledge. That is self-knowledge. No, aham brahman, appa, it's like studying physics to become Einstein. You wait, don't bother about Brahma. This is self-knowledge. I am the one who knows. That is self-knowledge. So you wake up, I am the one who knows. What a freedom, what a vision it is. Now the body is known to me, the mind is known to me, the world is known to me. And I am the one who knows. And so the world is known to me. Oh, what a freedom it is. Otherwise, how we think I am born into the world. I am a tiny guy, a tiny thing in this world. The world is unbearable to me. It is overwhelming to me. This is how you think. Wrong. That is not the world. The world is what you know. And this is the Mahamantra. Idam shariram kaunte kshatramitya vidhiyate etad yo vette tam prahuho kshatrajna ite tadvidaha. It is Gita. That verse is a Mahamantra it is. It is the mantra. What is the mantra? In brief, I am the one who knows. You say that and see what happens to you. You have uplifted yourself at once into the status of witnessing awareness. Oh my God, that is something very special, very great. It is self-knowledge. I am the one who knows. You tell yourself, close the eyes and tell yourself, I am the one who knows. I am the one who knows the world. How do I know? Through the mind and through the five sense organs. They are the instruments, you know. You are looking at the galaxy. Through a telescope. I am the one who sees the galaxy. Through telescope, all right. Similarly, I am the one who knows the world through instruments. What are the instruments? Mind and sense organs. They are the instruments. I am the one who knows. And therefore, the world has five elements. How? Because I am the one who knows through five instruments. Mind is the common thing, and so don't make it six. Mind is associated with all the five. Mind plus eyes, mind plus ears, like that. And so, they are the five elements, not the 100 elements of the physics, chemistry. There is no contradiction between the two. It is right in its place. It is geocentric. This is right in this place. This is self-centric understanding. And so, what are the five? What I hear is akasha, shabda gunakam akasham. What I hear is space, and what I touch is volume, sparsha, and what I see is a tejaha, or you call it agni. And what I taste is apaha. Ultimately, taste is not in the physical object also. There is no taste for the physical object. There is taste only when it comes into touch with the sense of touch. That is taste organ. And then finally, I am the prithivi, what I smell. Smell, take it like that. So, that is the word. Prithivi yaktejo vayu akasha. This is the world. What a beautiful vision it is. That is the world. The conglomerate of five elements. And then I will apply that to body-mind and establish the body-mind as the non-self and then face the self against the non-self so that leads you to know yourself. Vidhi, Atmanam Vidhi, Muktaye. Please come back tomorrow. Om Purnamada Purnamada.
see that in the afternoon. That's the point of this session.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.